Good morning. It's good to connect with you today. Today we conclude our series, taking a look at the circumstances in life that we encounter, those circumstances that we much rather forget, those situations that are challenging, those moments when we are called to make lemonade out of the lemons that we are given. Today we'll be taking a look out of the book of Philippians and hearing a little bit of Paul writing to the church in Philippi and understanding that when we go through trials, when we go through moments that are challenging and difficult, there are still opportunities for us to experience the grace of God, and there's also opportunities for us to share that same grace as well. So I invite you to hear out of the book of Philippians in the first chapter, verses 3 through 29, and then also in the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 10. It's a bit of a longer reading today, but I invite you to hear these words written to the church in Philippi from Paul, also known as the book of Philippians, starting at verse 3 of chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion of the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. Why does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, and that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yet I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that you now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I always find Paul's story to be a fascinating one to me. As he went on the missionary journeys throughout the Eastern Mediterranean, he was one at a time persecuted the church. He was a person who persecuted Christians and early on, you know, not long after Christ had died and was resurrected, you know, very early on in the church. And then Paul had this experience where he saw Christ and he was totally, you know, converted, wholeheartedly had a change of heart and became one of the most fervent and ardent followers of Christ, traveling throughout the Eastern Mediterranean, proclaiming the hope of Christ. Yet Paul was a person who struggled, not much different than you or I, because we go through moments in our lives that are challenging, that are difficult. And yet, through Paul's challenges, he still proclaimed hope, still proclaimed Christ, and proclaimed a grace that was abundant and is abundant today for us as well. When I think of the circumstances that I've gone through that I have not been proud of, or the circumstances I would rather forget, I think about the difficulty of how my heart is heavy, especially if it's news concerning a loved one, news of a diagnosis, or maybe a loss of a job, or perhaps, you know, a loss from change. You know, we're going through a lot of changes right now in this world. There's a lot of grief, a lot of struggles, and all the changes that we experienced, all the ways in which we gather or we don't gather, all the ways in which we work, or maybe we've heard news of someone who is struggling with the coronavirus disease. It is challenging and it is difficult to live in these days. But Paul, through his missionary journey, you experience challenge and hardship as well. Now, certainly his challenges and hardship were totally different. He was a leader and proclaiming a faith that was new, a faith that was unknown to many people, a faith that was viewed with suspicion because it was new. And it pulled people away from being fully devoted to the emperor who was seen, you know, with divine wisdom, who was being pulled away. People were being pulled away from their full allegiance to the Roman Empire because following Christ pulls us fully in and calls us as followers of Christ to proclaim our God as our God and not any leader or ruler. We're called to be all in when we follow Christ. And I believe that can make the challenges and the hardships that we face in life, even the challenges and the hardships that we face now, to be a bit perplexing, if not heartbreaking, for us as Christians. Certainly we have the hope that when we follow Christ, that all the struggles, all the worries that we encounter will just magically disappear. But that is not reality. That is not what we encounter. And it's not a part of the life. And we were never promised that as followers of Christ, that our lives would be free of struggle, would be free of hardship. Instead, I believe our faith calls us to view the hardships that we face differently. And in fact, I believe as followers of Christ, we're invited as we go through those hardships and fully recognizing the pain and difficulty that we encounter, we're called to be different and invited to live in the grace of God through Christ. Now, the church in Philippi that Paul is writing to was one that experienced difficulty, experienced hardship. They experienced persecution. They experienced all the other struggles in life. And yet, Paul calls on them to rejoice. Now, I know when I'm going through a difficult moment, rejoicing is not necessarily the first thing I have in mind. Instead, when I am struggling, I want to get, you know, caught up in the problems I have, get caught up in my own self, rather than be focused on God or focused on even sharing the love of God. I know how I can become fixated, how I can struggle on the challenges that I face and the difficult situations I find myself in. But Paul here calls for rejoicing in the face of that hardship. Now, I don't believe that rejoicing is one that just is a shallow, that acknowledge that takes the pain we have or the struggle in the situation and tries to dismiss it or not acknowledge it. But rather, it's a rejoicing in the hope that is found, the hope that will carry us through. And Paul, I believe, even calls us to continue to serve in the midst of the hardship, to serve, as we rejoice, to continue to proclaim the hope. And I believe that's where we can be a witness as well. When we are in difficult situations, when we are in hardship, we fully recognize where we are, but we know as a people of faith that there is hope. There is hope in our lives, and there is hope coming in Christ Jesus. I always think it's kind of interesting when I think about our lives in this particular way. When I think about as followers of Christ, we know the end of the story. We know the hope that we live in. We know what is coming. I mean, we look into the gospel of Christ, into the hope that Christ proclaimed through his death and through his resurrection especially. But also when we dig later into the New Testament, that vision in Revelation 21 of the New Jerusalem, of the kingdom of God being fully upon us that Christ talks about. I mean, all these things that are promised, that are given, that we have our faith in. I believe as followers of Christ, instead of being totally trapped by the difficult circumstances, we know the hope. We know the end of the story, and we know that it's filled with life everlasting. Yes, our current circumstances can be challenging. They can be painful. They can be something that we want to forget. But as a people of faith, we know the hope. And that's why sometimes I become perplexed, even with my own self, when I get fixated on the situations that we are in. Instead of being called into that hope, knowing that hope is coming. That's where I struggle and can be perplexed. But I believe that as followers of Christ, we can proclaim that hope. And by doing so, we are serving by proclaiming that hope. And I also believe that when we reach out to our neighbors, even when we're in a situation that we're struggling in, if we're able to reach out, to connect, to help another person, I believe it lifts both people up. It lifts up our neighbors. It lifts up those who are struggling as well. And if nothing else, we can have empathy for those who struggle as well. And that, I believe, is a way for us to be a witness. In the midst of trial, it's a way for us to serve when we are facing trial and hardship. So, brothers and sisters, as we go through the coming weeks and months, or other moments that come in our lives, maybe years down the road when we are facing a moment that we do not want to be in. We know that there is hope. We know that we can rejoice in that hope. And we also know that we can still proclaim the hope of Christ and be a witness in the midst of our hardship. Yes, there are moments that will be difficult, moments that will be challenging. But I believe our God is with us and calls us forward. So let us live in that hope. Let us proclaim that hope and be a witness for that hope now and for all of our days. Amen.